What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live, joined as always by my two co-hosts, Jonathan Holder and Toby D. Toby, how you doing, brother?
Man, hey, despite the loss, I'm doing good.
There it is. There it is. Jonathan, you're going to have to unmute, my friend, and then you can talk to us.
No, I was just going to telepathically do it. Y'all were just going to hear my voice in your head. it's a beautiful day. I'm not going to let anything get me down. So I'm ready to go. And
as they say on the red zone all the time, we're you can see that we're quad boxing tonight. And we got our good buddy Joe Patrick from 92.9 The Game down there in the corner. Joe, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. I appreciate you having me back on. I wish it was under some better circumstances. But, you know, it's not the Falcons without there being some highs and definitely some lows. But you gotta talk through them, right? That's how we get through this.
Definitely some lows.
It's the, like I said at the top of the show, it's like, oh, the old familiar feeling, right? we start out like the offseason brings, like hope springs eternal. You know, the offseason brings new optimism when you're signing free agents. And as most of us said, you know, depending on how things shape out, this could be good. Or if things go south, this could look horrible, right? And we started off 2-0. And feeling decent. We're like, hey, look, at least there's some things to fix, but at least we're winning. You'd much rather fix things as you're winning versus fix things as you're losing. Well, guess what? We're now losing, and we have yet to fix some things. So I guess before we get too much deeper into it, we might as well just jump right on in. So as we said, as it started out, the top of the show, we obviously lost. We went across the pond, and that trip was not good to us. Heck, it hasn't been good to us the last few times. I know we lost to the Lions over there. We won the last time we went over there in 21, which was obviously the only time Pitt scored a touchdown. But still, the Jaguars themselves, they pull to 5-5 at their overall record in London. Kind of like a home game for them as much as they go over there, which was something I brought up on our weekend show. Holy Pete, Willie Doc's already getting going, which is great.
Yep.
But, yeah, we got our ballers and followers coming up, so I'm going to go ahead and put Willie's up there. He says he took his $20, which is great. We appreciate that.
Appreciate it, Willie Doc.
He says, ballers, Ryan Nielsen, his defense has been carrying this team. Faller, Ritter, yikes. Yeah, he says, honorable mention, Jonnu Smith, side-eye glance, which I love him adding this little wrinkle with the side-eye. The side-eye glance is Dave Ragone, and Ritter's job is on a quarter-by-quarter basis in your book. Yeah, I don't think it's there yet, but I know for fans it is. I know for a fact that for fans, the Ritter has already used up every bit of the leash that he has. But before we get into our ballers and followers, Joe, what was your 30,000 foot view of the game in London?
Man, it was tough. It was obviously a tough pill to swallow because of what you said. You know, it's like these problems are just persisting, and really it's the same problems that we saw in the wins too. You know, it's the lack of downfield passing game, it's the indecision in the pocket from Ritter that is really worrying. That it just doesn't really seem to be getting better. It does seem like through games he does sort of start to get into some sort of flow, and the second halves have tended to be better. But even saying that, the first halves are just so bad that it's unsustainable at that level. Right. And so that word unsustainable is kind of, I feel like, where we're at right now. Like, you cannot progress like this. It has to get better. And if it doesn't, then I think Arthur Smith is going to be forced into a change. And I think that, you know, we'll talk, I'm sure, a lot more about the quarterback situation, but I hear a lot of people, you know, referring to last year and saying, like, look how long it took him to you know, replace Mariota, and Ritter's going to get a lot of time. But I think the calculus is much different this year when you have a much more tenured quarterback behind Ritter, who you're paying quite a bit of money to be a backup quarterback. You know, I don't, and the fact that, you know, you got to put yourself in Arthur Smith's shoes. It's time for him to win. You know, like right. He's been here a few years now. It's time for this regime to start winning. You cannot just kind of be in this perpetual state of building a team. At some point, that building has to result in results on the field. And so I'm not saying it's over for Desmond Ritter and this team in general, but, you know, it's getting to the point where you gotta start making it count and putting results out there on the field.
No doubt. No doubt. That is definitely, and we're going to spend a good bit of time on that. I just wanted to, like I said, get your, top level view. Jonathan, you want to give your top level view, and then we'll, I know Toby's got himself contained, and so we'll roll into the ballers before we get to him. What you got, Jonathan?
Loving the defense.
Right.
Like, do I want more sacks? Sure. But at the end of the day, like, even, you know, you look at that score and like the defense gave up, I think, a total of like 16 points.
Yep.
So the defense, even with the pick six, there was, you know, if we had an offense that was scoring like the first 2 weeks, we win that game. If we, like, that's what I'm not necessarily looking for, like, blowing people out of the water. Just score 24 to 26 points a game. And right now, your defense is going to carry you in that respect of what have you. And, you know, there was, the pick six that he threw was almost the exact same throw from like a couple weeks or from the previous week in the Lions game. That if you go back and watch the QB school, like he was talking about, capital A anticipation. It looked really good. Like went back, hit his back foot, and it was gone. The problem was. Like I think he did that in the Detroit game. And then he's just like, okay, we're going to run the same concept. That defense is going to do the exact same thing. And it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably should have gone out to the flat. But the problem was, I think he had in his mind, this is where this is going to go. This
right.
is gonna work. It's going to work the same way again, like it did before. And it didn't. And yeah, but that's the perils of a young QB. The perils of, and I'm not trying to excuse it, but that's the perils of a young QB is, like, it worked really great that first time in Detroit, and then he comes back with the same exact play, the same exact throw, same exact timing. Everything worked out except for now there's a defender there.
Right.
Whether that was they saw the film and they're like, if we see this, we know exactly what he's going to want to do. So they go there and he just didn't – he wasn't paying attention to it. Or what, but, and I'll say this, by and large, I think compared to the week previously, yes, we did, we gave up some sacks, but especially in the second half, the offensive line played much better. Lindstrom, graded out way better.
Yeah. He looks like he's had a decent bounce back. Mm-hmm. Now yeah. We'll see. Hopefully he can keep it going.
Yeah. Dahlman, scored pretty good. McGarry, but he was still like in the top 15 of like, you know, top grades coming out of PFF. So like, you know, I see the offensive line progressing. I think, you know, coming out of Detroit, I think probably the biggest problem he had in the first half was there were some sacks. He was still thinking he was still seeing ghosts. And I think that's his biggest problem is he's got to be, no matter how many times he gets hit, he's got to trust in the timing. He's got to trust in his offensive line because when he sticks in there and makes those throws with guys coming down on him, he can. I saw him do it really good a couple times, but then there's other times where he bails and for no reason. I was heartened by the second half. Because we didn't see that at all in Detroit. Detroit, it stunk the entire game. This game stunk it up first half. Wasn't enough to get over the hump in the second half, but I did see him play better in the second half. And I want to see if maybe he can carry that through to now you're back home. Let's get it a little more comfortable environment. And let's see if we can at least start building from there, but
right.
it has got to get better. You know, even if it's just league average offense right now, it's probably we're 3-1.
Yeah.
So
Padre tipped us $9, which we appreciate. Padre.
Appreciate it, Padre.
He said, what's good, PvP? He says, Toby, whenever you're ready to storm the gates, you let me know, bro. I got your back. So, Toby, what you thinking, bro?
Arthur Smith is going to end up losing this team is what I'm thinking. If you sit there and you look at the team's expression, you already saw Kyle Pitts in these first few games, even that they won the first two games, they are frustrated right now. You look at Mac Hollins specifically, he was frustrated after that. You know, he didn't make that catch or whatnot. And then whatever Ritter was trying to say to him, I don't know exactly what all happened with that. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that this team right now is very frustrated. I'm sitting there looking at Bijan Robinson. His face said it all. Okay, and he's a rookie, right? And they are looking like, what is going on with the offense? This offense is not moving. They are too slow getting it going, okay? And they've been like that all four games now, slow getting it going. And it shouldn't be that. Now, one thing I will say is what I said before. Because I said, why are they throwing more back shoulder throws? We finally saw a back shoulder throw sighting, which led to a touchdown
right.
to Drake London. Okay? Because these are more things that they need to do. I don't know why they are allergic to wide receiver throws. I don't know why they're allergic to that. And wheel routes by these running backs. But for whatever reason, they seem to be allergic to throwing these types of passes. And this is what your offense and the players in your offense are capable of doing. They are not calling plays that fit the players. And that's mm-hmm. what's bothering me right now. You can see the frustration throughout everybody. And that's what I'm looking at. And eventually, like they said on the broadcast, you're going to mess around and get this defense discouraged. Because right. they're going to feel like, what is the point of me being out here if my offense is, which includes Desmond Ridder, who can't seem to read defenses. Okay, he's struggling with that. And now that they got more games of film on him prior to coming into that game, they knew where he was throwing the ball because, number one, he gave it away with his eyes. And number two, he gave it away with the film because you could tell Jacksonville watched the film and saw what he was doing in the other previous games that he was playing in. He likes to throw it to the middle of the field because that is his safety blanket when he doesn't know where else to go with the football. He just doesn't – he doesn't have the skill set right now, okay, to be able to do the things that need to be done. I don't know what happened from them four games last year to this year, but something has to happen. Now, did he improve it a little bit? You saw him start to look off guys a little bit, and it was working. But if you're going to give him a chance, which Arthur Smith probably is because he's very stubborn-headed like he was last year, probably going to give him at least 6 or 7 games to show, because all his excuse is going to be, well, we're winning games, and we're not this far away from the record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you keep riding with that, and then you mess around and miss the playoffs this year and lose the whole locker room because you are too stubborn-headed. When you're looking at guys with Calais Campbell, who got the leadership that he has, and Grady Jarrett that has the leadership that he has, you get those guys upset, and they start talking and spreading things throughout their locker room. Arthur Smith, you're done. That's all I'm going to say. Period.
10-4. Yeah. Every bit of that is valid thoughts and valid concerns, which we will continue to get into. But now, for everybody's favorite part of the show, at least that's what I'm going to tell myself. I need to move this banner. I always say that. Okay, there. I'm going to move this other banner too, because it's hiding Joe's pretty face. Gotta see Joe. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
So, ballers and fallers. Most of it is predictable. I think I've even had a handful of folks already guess it, but our baller is one Nate Landman. Now, we could have went with a handful of different people here, but Nate Landman being an undrafted guy who's been thrust into, starting duty because of Troy Andersen going on IR, has actually played pretty well. I've been impressed with him, you know, the way he's, run fitting and just, doing the job that he's being asked to do, which has been inspiring to me. But he right now is kind of just the figurehead this week of the defense getting the deal. That's my thoughts there. Because it could also easily been David Onyemata with his 1.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could throw Jesse Bates in there. Like, the defense as a whole has been the one consistent bright spot. But MJ hit it on the head. He goes, "Can we give a low key baller to Nate Landman?" That's who it was. It was definitely yep. Nate Landman. Joe, is there anything you can add to that?
On Landman, you know, it's something I said during the game, and you're right. Like, the run fits were incredible. He had one early in the game, and it was like you could see it was just a massive collision right in the hole. It was one of those, like, you know, man run stops where there's no other thing you can possibly do than just run into that hole as hard as you can. And he just stonewalled the guy. I don't know if it was Travis Etienne or Bigsby, but man, that was a massive hit. And it just shows exactly what Arthur Smith has been talking about with Lamb. He always calls him heavy handed, you know, that kind of linebacker. And what I said during the game was, it's really nice when, if you're going to lose a starter like Troy Anderson, it's really nice to have the backup come in and truly have a genuine strength to his game that helps the team. And mm-hmm. So while Nate Landman is not going to be able to do some of the things that Troy Anderson can do, Nate Landman can also do some of the things that maybe Troy Anderson is not quite as good at. And I think that for the Falcons in particular, they kind of struggled to stop some of this, especially the interior running game against Carolina. Not so much against Green Bay. They didn't have Aaron Jones in that game. But I just think that he's going to actually potentially benefit this Falcons defense, because I think that you can kind of cover for some of the things that Troy Anderson does. You know, you can use nickelbacks and, you know, other personnel to kind of cover for what he does. I'm not trying to downplay the potential and talent that Troy Anderson is, but I'm just really impressed with what we've seen from Nate Landman two games. And you know what? Green Bay probably wasn't doing much in the run game, because I think that was the other game where he got a bunch of run, I believe. So, yeah, really nice from him. And I would just, if I'm going to give a low key shout out, I'll give it to Jeff Okuda, stepping in, making his first start for the Falcons. I thought he played really well, again, showing kind of a physical nature to his game. But I think that you just even see the secondary stepping up to another level with him, and in Ryan Nielsen's defense, where you play so much kind of man on man, no cushion, you're just being really physical as a corner. I think that Jeff Okuda seems really well suited to that. So let's just knock on wood that he can stay healthy and not have anything else kind of disrupt his season.
Yeah, that was definitely, I agree with that. It was nice to see Okuda go in there and play well, you know, across from AJ Terrell. You're going to need that going forward, especially if they're wanting to play a ton of man. Mm-hmm. You know, having two guys like AJ Terrell and Jeff Okuda is going to be huge. All right. So before we move on to the faller earlier today, our good friend Fred Butt says, before y'all criticize Ridder, that game was on Arthur Smith, and his scheme is so vanilla. He doesn't let Ridder run or anything. And he calls no deep shots, and he kills drives by running the ball too much. It's almost like you knew where I was going with the fall, which I went ahead and put that up there, but we're going to get deeper into that as we hear in the next topic. But yes, unfortunately, our faller this week is Desmond Ridder, because he is showing signs of regression, and that's not what you want. Like, yes, we are going to talk about the scheme. There are a lot of factors, but when he is kept clean in the pocket, you know, if you want to talk about his O-line, when he is kept clean in the pocket, he's not reading the defense as well. If you want to talk about, like, you know, the scheme not necessarily doing him any favors, well, he's also not doing himself any favors by still bringing forth the deal from college where it takes him a whole half to get going. That was a knock on him coming out of Cincinnati. There was two knocks on him that worried me coming out of Cincinnati: the slow start and the inaccuracy. I thought the inaccuracy might not be as big a deal with guys like Pitts and London, you know, having big catch radiuses and contested catch guys and stuff like that. And it hasn't been a huge ordeal, other than, like, he's just not making the right reads. He's not throwing the ball well. These past two games, if you want to sit here and talk about, oh, you know, Arthur Smith don't trust him, in the past two games, he's thrown almost 70 times. Like, I don't know how you don't consider that, you know, being given the keys to do it, and you're not doing it. You're not prudent. Is there still time? Obviously. We're only four games into the season. By the end of the season, we could be speaking a different tune. But four games in right now, it is not looking good for the hope that we had found the next franchise QB, right? So that's our ballers and fallers. Let's get on to the next topic. Who's really to blame? Everybody loves playing the blame game.
It's all your fault, JR.
Right. I'm sorry. I thought to myself that I was decent at Madden. I figured that I could go down there and call the plays and get the teams to score. But just like Madden, by the halftime, I'm ready to throw the controller and turn the game off. Sidebar, did y'all see Peyton Manning last night when Daniel Jones threw that pick six? He looked he wanted to get up and turn the damn TV off.
I love watching Peyton watch bad quarterback play.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Great. Yes. Great entertainment.
Yes. That was a side. But, hey, I put his tweet out on Twitter, on Twix, on whatever you want to call it, X, that at least right now we're not $160-plus million into Ritter.
Right.
And also a byproduct, as much as I'm not advocating for it, because we're not $100 million into it, like by the end of the season, if everything sticks the way it is and they want to move off, if Terry Fontenot is like, look, Smith ain't the guy. And I say Terry Fontenot for a reason, because I think Terry's done a pretty good job, especially in the free agency department.
Mm-hmm.
We can have some discussions about, draft picks, but free agency department, I feel like he's done a good job. So if by the end of the season, everything still is looking glum and dour and doomsday, and they want to move off of Smith, you're not pigeonholed to a quarterback. So, that's a positive if you're looking, for a silver lining. So, hey, Smitty Sports Machine's in here. What's up, Smitty?
What up, Smitty?
Glad you decided to join us tonight. Or at least pop in for a minute. Toby, I know you kind of like unloaded both barrels, but I want to see if you got any more in the chamber.
Oh, I got plenty. You ain't got to worry about it. I got plenty.
So who at the top level, like who are you? Are you just starting at the coaching staff? And like who are you really putting the majority of the blame on?
I'm putting it on Arthur Smith. For one, you got Dave Ragone. You're not going to be able to have the excuse, well, Dave was setting the table for me. He was putting in all the plays and the sequences of the plays together. So I'm calling whatever he's giving me. Now, player, you are the head coach, former OC. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have the power to override anything that Dave Ragone is putting on your desk before game planning week starts. Okay. You like this? Bruce Arians tell you all the time. And this is one of the reasons Tom Brady used to get mad at him and the coordinator. They be mad at him because if he didn't like something, he was changing it. He didn't feel like it was going to work, he was changing it. And as much as Arthur Smith talks all this tough rah, 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 and you're not going through, if you don't like something Dave Ragone is placing in the sequences of the plays, then it needs to be changed, Arthur Smith. You can't sit there and just go with what he's got. And then you got them crazy dumb looks on your face, making all these cows look like you Fred Sanford or somebody. And you not taking the bull by the horns and making the play calls that need to be made. You know that this guy would be better. Drake London, if you get him out on these wide receiver screens, and I keep saying this, you get him out on these wide receiver screens, somebody as big as him and got the speed that he has, you're not going to have a lot of players that's going to want to tackle him coming full speed in these wide receiver screens. Now, maybe they can't execute him. Maybe that's why they're not running him. Maybe they feel like their offensive linemen and the guys on the team can't execute it well because they're watching it probably in practice. And maybe that's the reason why they're not running these wide receiver screens right now. They don't feel they can execute them well enough to do it. But somebody need to figure out something, because what y'all got Desmond Ridder doing right now, where he has to take these big old dropbacks, okay, and before he releases the ball, it's not working. It's not working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got to throw it 70 times because y'all behind all the game. So that's why he got to throw the ball more. He's right. Not that type of quarterback.
I don't. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Joe, who you putting? Like, you get a little bit different access than we do,
right? Yeah,
you know, as I'm just driving around in you know my truck all day long thinking about it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like what is the feeling that you're getting when you're around the team?
I mean, I think Toby's like those points are really valid, and I think that Arthur Smith so far, you know, and this may sound obvious, but like, I mean, I think he did a better job coaching job last year than what he's done so far this year through four games. And maybe there are some circumstances that we don't have as much information about because we're still in the thick of it now, as opposed to kind of being able to look back at last season in the rear view. But, you know, something that he said when he was on 929 The Game talking with Dukes and Bell, which, by the way, I appreciate Arthur Smith so much by the way that he talks when he goes on that show, in particular, when they're up there at the Falcons facility, just kind of sits there and just talks football. And sometimes I'm wondering if he says, you know, kind of be too open about some of the play calls he's doing. But, you know, he was talking about last year, and he was talking about how, you know, the situation they were in, they had to do whatever they had to do to win. You know, they weren't going to try to tank. Because they wanted the team to instill, you know, winning values. And even if you're not winning the game, you still want to install the values that push you as hard as you can to potentially win, because those are when you install those values, that's what's going to allow when you do have the talent to then go ahead and win games. And so he was talking about, you know, we were okay, you know, running the ball on third and medium, you know, if we felt like that was our best chance to pick up a first down with the personnel that we had available to us, that's what we were going to do, because we were trying to win that game no matter how it happened. And this year it does seem like he's trying to make this work, and it's not working so far, clearly. And, you know, I think that, frankly, from there, you kind of transition to Ritter and the shortcomings that he's had so far on the field. And you're right, JR, you were talking about, you know, last year he kind of progressed linearly every game, even though he was starting from a pretty low baseline where he was in that Saints game. But, you know, still, you give him credit. He kind of climbed his way up throughout the games. But then this year, it just seems like he's kind of been stuck in that, very similar to how he looked in that first game against Carolina. And I'm sure that, you know, to Toby's point, a lot of the film that teams now have on him, the being able to pick up on some of his tendencies is big. And I think that some of the short passing game is not working because teams are loading the box to stop the run, but then also they know that that's kind of he wants to kind of hit those short curls and in the flats, and they're kind of just taking all that away. They're ready to jump those routes. We've seen that. We've seen some, again, against the Lions, some of those interceptions dropped. And then I also feel like Ritter gets a little bit, I feel like he loses his mind a little bit. Like he just kind of goes, like, when something bad happens, like he just kind of loses it a little bit and starts trying to force the ball. And we saw that kind of the consecutive interceptions. And, yep. Jonathan, you brought up the QB school against Detroit, and JT O'Sullivan was giving Ritter, you know, he gave him the capital A for that one throw, the anticipation throw. And yeah. I thought watching that, I actually don't like that throw that he made. It was like a deep dig. And to me, that was one of those kind of YOLO throws, but it was almost one. It was one. It worked out because it was a really good throw. And he does deserve credit for that. But I think that it's one where you almost don't want him kind of like trying to thread the needle through, you know, three guys in that instance. And maybe there were some better opportunities. And I just feel like that pass is kind of indicative of some of these tendencies that Ritter has to just, you know, on this play, I'm going to this dig route and I'm going to pump it in there. And sometimes it works out, but clearly sometimes it doesn't. So I think that these are all just kind of on, you know, parts of the learning process, but the Falcons don't have time right now to sit through a quarterback trying to learn the craft. You know, this team, this defense is built to win now. Obviously not like a Super Bowl level, but clearly this team needs to make progress in the win column. And you just don't have the luxury to use a quarterback like this. And when it comes to blame, it's hard for me to discern how much is just of interest in passing schemes and how much of it is the coach staff trying to just kind of dumb some things down, for lack of a better phrase, for Ritter to be able to start to get something going.
That's I'm gonna touch on that point, but I want to catch Uncle Steve from Uncle Steve's Lounge. Uncle Steve. He says, "Fellas, He says, I blame me, the fan, who has been programmed to believe that if we turn around and blink three times, DR9's skill set will improve. Tricked again. Yeah, that's, it's starting to kind of feel that way, Steve, for real. But on the point that you were making, I want to expand on that, because that's something I've thought about, is when you start the season, and I'm trying to think through the process. I'm not trying to assign blame. I'm not trying to, you know, take anybody's back, take anybody's side. I'm trying to work my way through the process, which gets me in trouble quite a bit, like, especially when, you know, dealing with my wife, who's like, just take my side. I'm like, well, hold on now. I'm just trying to work through the process. But I've learned over the years, fellas, just take your wife's side. Just do that. Anyway, I thought about it. It's like, okay, you start off the season, your run game's working well, you know, Tyler, Bijan, you're not having to throw it as much. Your defense is taking the ball away, giving yourself, you know, short fields, short opportunities. If you looked at the first two games, 119 yards passing, 200 yards passing. That seems to be about where we want to live. As we feared, you start loading the box. And during that, you know, these teams loading the box, also now you add on top of that, your O-line is going through some issues, whether it was something you were talking about off camera with possibly passing a bug around the entire building. Your O-line's going through some issues, and now you're not, you know, your guys aren't blocking well. You're not opening up holes. You can't get the run game going, so to speak, because you are getting, you know, such a loaded box. Now you are having to, okay, Rook, you know, because it's something I made, you know, so far, Ritter hasn't even played a full season yet. Something I keep trying to, you know, tell myself a little bit, but it's like, all right, Rook, it's time for you to sink or swim in a sense and see what you got. So if you're Arthur Smith, if you're Dave Ragone, you know you have a limited QB as far as experience goes, what he can't handle, so to speak. And, you know, what can you call in your offensive arsenal? Now, I will agree with everybody, it needs to be better. And, you know, Jarvis is over here, Dog Ritter's not a pocket QB, and it's killing his game. Right. Like, this is where I'm like, okay, in a sense, what are the coaches doing? I don't see them trying to roll the pocket as much. Right now, our leading, like, you can tell the uncomfortableness that Ritter has, because our leading receiver is Janu Smith, which I felt like he was going to be a safety blanket. So when the safety blanket is the leading receiver, that shows you that there's no comfort, right? Somebody in the chat earlier asked about Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller's non-existent, which I kind of thought was interesting that they even brought him in. Like, because even last year, I mean, you had some deep shots here or there with Cordell Hodge, but you still had Hodge. So I didn't really, like, Scotty Miller represented you attempting to take shots further downfield. Mm-hmm. Now, is it a deal where they don't trust Ritter to do it? And if we've gone through this point, we're four games in, eight games into his NFL career, if you no longer trust Ritter to do it, then you need to pull the plug and put Heinicke in. Because, you know, for good or for bad, Heinicke's a gunslinger. And he's going to grip it and rip it. Like, whether it's, you know, results in picks or not. You know, somebody was in here earlier saying that they live up in Washington and they weren't, you know, big on like Heinicke up there. I will say this, they let him walk. So anytime a team lets a QB walk, that tells me kind of what I need to know. We're seeing some resurgence here and there with Geno up in Seattle, with Josh Dobbs out in Arizona, with Baker, at least for the first few games down in Tampa. But for the most part, when you let a QB walk, there's for a reason. Anyway.
Well, Heinicke's a turnover machine, but at least he's going to hit the big plays too. And what we've seen so far from Ritter is he has the most turnover worthy plays in the league among quarterbacks, but he's also not hitting many of the shots. I mean, we've only seen him really a couple. Yeah. So I think that that's the problem is you're not getting the benefit of that kind of risky kind of passing game.
Right.
Well, that's the reason why you had Asante Samuel and why he was able to stay in the league for so many years. Yeah, he would get burned on occasion, but he'd also come up with pick sixes. He'd get picks for you all the time. So, like, if Ritter was throwing, like, an interception, like, a game or something like that, but was also getting you some big plays, whether it's with his legs or whether it was with a dump-off, you know, at the right time or the deep shot or whatever – you know, if that kind of stuff was happening along with it, then yeah, of course you're going to be down with it because you'll take the good with the bad. But yeah, the biggest problem is like the deep shots that he's taken. Like he had Mac Hollins wide open again, underthrew him. I think he could have made that throw on, you know, the length. I don't think the length was a problem. I think he just misjudged it. But, you know, you've got to hit those so you can loosen up that defense a little bit because, you know, I like the fact that we're taking them, but we've got to start hitting some of those because you've got to be able to put that fear into them. Otherwise, we're just not going to – we're just going to see stacked boxes and condensed defenses and it's just going to be a living hell. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exactly what we did to Carolina. That's the reason why. That's the reason why we got the two picks off of Bryce is because our safeties were just sitting down. They weren't dropping back in deep in coverage. They were sitting down and watching those routes, and they were jumping them. Right. That's the same thing that happened to Bryce Young.
Fred Butts tipped us another $5, which we appreciate. Great,
thank you, Fred.
He says if y'all don't like Ritter, just say that. He's going to make mistakes. He's only started 8 games. And Arthur's short passing game doesn't help him. I'm going to go ahead and call it, Fred. I'm not just like last year. The only guy who I've defended through thick and thin is MR2. And that's because by the time we started doing this show, to me, he had earned it. He had earned the right to be defended. Okay. At this junction, none of these guys have earned the right to be defended. Last year, Marcus Mariota didn't earn the right to be defended. Arthur Smith at this junction has not earned the right to be defended. And at this junction, I will acknowledge shortcomings. And we have been up front with this from where go. You can go back and watch them. In the 2022 draft, not 22. Last year.
Yeah.
In that draft, Ritter was the only QB that I liked. You can ask Toby. Toby sat here and we talked about it. Toby liked Malik Willis. I liked Desmond Ritter. I thought Desmond Ritter fit what we wanted to, or what Arthur Smith wanted to do here in Atlanta. Ran a lot of the similar concepts in Cincinnati. If there was one guy who, out of that particular draft, now I acknowledge the shortcomings and I will continue to acknowledge them. But until you at least take my team to playoff contention, because you can ask Jonathan, who's been like, it's his fault that I'm even doing this. I'll blame him and we'll continue to blame him. But I have always said what I want from my team is to be a consistent contender. I think it's unrealistic to expect your team to be in a Super Bowl every year, but I want to be in the conversation. I want to be in contention in my division year in and year out.
Yeah, I mean, if we're every single year of Arthur Smith's tenure or most years of Arthur Smith's tenure, if we're coming down to like the last 2-3 weeks of the season and we're, you know, in the conversation of like, you know, either we need to handle our business and we win the division or maybe we need some help or whatever, as long as that happens, that's what I want. I want to be in that conversation every single year and, you know, potentially into even if it's just a wild card spot somewhere in the playoffs, I want to be there. You're not going to. And if we don't make it every year.
No.
Hey, it happens. It happens. But I want to be there. And so if whatever ends up happening this year, as long as we're in that conversation, than I that what do what I want us to win the division this year? Yes. But at the end of the day, I want us to be competitive. Right? I don't want to be the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be the Bears. I'm not trying to be, you know, Cleveland for so many years. I'm not trying to be stuck in that kind of, like, you saw what the Cleveland team had to do to get out of QB purgatory. Right? You know, they came in and offloaded a crap ton of money and have just now starting to see some of that benefit, right? It took Deshaun Watson a while to get, and we're not even 100% sure if he's all the way back yet. He's still, like, questionable at times, right? But they got a massive defense. It's all this thing. It's a team sport. But I'll tell you this. If you ain't got a QB, you ain't got much of a chance. It's like very rarely do you get a situation where you can win without a at least average QB. I'm not saying you got to have a superstar. I'm not saying you got to have Pat Mahomes. Not if you have a real good team. Like the Broncos won with the shell of Peyton Manning because they had a real good defense. But it was still not making mistakes Peyton Manning, right? Like
everyone loves throw like Trent Dilfer out there as kind of like, you know, the Super Bowl quarterback that can be the game manager. He was still probably like a top 15 quarterback in the league right. That year. Like he was not like you can't have a bad quarterback, right? You can't have a bad quarterback and be a competitive team.
You have to have at least league average. I mean, even the year that, even last year, like Chris, our good buddy, Chris Morgan, he said, I tried to defend Mariota, and he did. He says, but at some point, he even had to be realistic. That's right. Like, don't get me wrong. Me and Toby said it on the channel last year. It would be a boon. It would be absolutely amazing if, now this was last year, we said either Mariota or Ritter turned into a franchise QB. Because that solves the problem. You know what I'm saying? A problem that we don't want to have when we don't want to be in.
I think one of the other things, too, for this Falcons team right now, and I think that Desmond Ridder is hurt by this, is you have a lot of really young players that are the featured players for this offense. When it's, you know, Desmond Ridder, he's older than a lot of these pass catchers that he's thrown to. He's 24 years old, and Drake London's 22, Pitts is 22, Bijan, I think, is 21. These are talent, but I think that I think that this team could use a more experienced kind of quarterback to kind of get the group together, you know, that just has those intangibles. That's why Matt Ryan was able to be so effective so late into his career, even though his arm talent in and of itself was not anything special really toward a year in Atlanta, but still to be effective because, you know, he has all these intangibles. He's smart. He can read defense and all that. But he's also really good at getting on the same page with his pass catchers and just kind of filling in the gaps in that respect. And it feels like right now, it's a little bit chaotic because you just don't feel like there is that kind of uniter that's kind of organizing everybody and getting everybody on the same page. And I think that's why, as a Falcons fan, you don't really have a lot of confidence in this offense really, with what we've seen. And there's not really any real reason to think that it's going to suddenly get better. Maybe that could be wrong, but it just doesn't feel that way at the point.
Well, that kind of leads into this next little point, and then I have an off-the-wall point that I'm going to bring up that somebody just kind of reminded me of. I hit the wrong banner. Look at me. That's the one I wanted. Look at me. I'm even making rookie mistakes over here.
Look at you.
It says, is Ridder just a placeholder? And there was an interesting debate by, if any of y'all follow Everett Glaze on Twitter, he brought up an interesting point that got me to thinking, is like Ridder given a chance, hey, okay, we're going to see what you got, kid. And if it goes south, that it looks like it's going, does this then open up the door for them to make a move for a more veteran quarterback? Like if somehow Kirk Cousins hits the market or Ryan Tannehill hits the market or even the thing got floated because of First Take, I think, but somebody like a Justin Fields or a Daniel Jones, one who's had a little bit more time in the league, like, do you think that that's what they go for? Like, Toby, do you think that that's something that, like, hey, we're like almost like a la Bruce Arians, like, I'd much rather just deal with a veteran?
You got your guy on the roster already. Taylor wins big games. He's showing he can win big games. I mean, he's beat Aaron Rodgers. He's beat Tom Brady before. And those are games that most of the quarterbacks couldn't even win. So you got your guy on the roster. Look, I can understand if you don't want to start him right now because you need him to learn the offense a little bit more. But now you got four games in. You got plenty of film that you have right now where you can get Taylor Heineke in there practicing this week to take over the game for week five, because I'm pretty much done with Ritter at this point. I'm just going to be honest, because you don't have time in a season of winning. This is the year to win. Okay, I said this before. Okay, this is year three. This is the year to win. You don't go and put that much money in your defense to discourage your defense with a guy that can't read defenses clearly right now. He's not ready right now. You are in a win now situation. Okay, this is no more experimenting to see what's going on. Your culture has been set from last year. Now you got to win with the culture that you set. So it is time, okay, to sit Desmond Ridder right now and get Taylor in there. Stop being stubborn, Arthur Smith, because you already know what you got in Desmond Ridder, okay? You're seeing right now he is not ready for the NFL. These defenses got more film on them now, four games from last year, and they had the three games previous coming into this game against the Jaguars, which you clearly saw the Jaguars knowing exactly what he was going to do. It wasn't that he was just staring receivers down. He was showing on film what he's been doing the first three games, and Jaguars picked up on it, which led to a pick six. Could have had a pick six when the Packers almost picked him off and could have took it to the house, okay? So that clearly tells you these guys, they're watching film. They know what Desmond is capable of and what he's not capable of. It's time to make the switch. You need to go and get this guy, Taylor Heineke, in here, who knows how to play in these big games and can come in there and get some balls to your targets, man. You got guys like Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Mac Hollins, Janu Smith, Bijan Robinson. Come on, I can go, the list can go on and on with the guys that can catch the football alone, and you're not getting the ball to these weapons because guess what? You can't.
Right.
And it ain't all the offensive line. It's Desmond Ridder as just as much as it's the offensive line, it's Desmond Ridder. And they got to figure this out. I don't know what they're going to do, but if they want to keep going with Desmond, go ahead.
I mean, if you go to Heineke, that's your burn the boats moment, right? Because you're not going to sit Ridder for a couple games and then let him come back in. Like, that's just not going to happen. That's not how it's going to work. So
yeah,
and that's fine. I mean, if somebody wants to see that, if somebody thinks that's the best way forward, that's fine. I'm not saying that I necessarily disagree, but like, that is your burn the boats moment. Like, that is. We can't, you, what, as you're crossing the Rubicon, whatever thing you want to call it, once you go to Heineke, Ritter's done. Like, and if you're done with Ridder, then that's fine for you. I want to see how he reacts to, he had a bad six quarters. Okay. He looked better in the last two. I want to see how he reacts to that. And I think we're going to, he's going to start week five. Heineke's not starting week five. We would have already known by now.
Yeah, but I just pulled up the, just out of curiosity, I just pulled up the depth chart. And obviously, you know, Ritter's, you know, still QB1. But
yeah, but I want to see him, because he's going to go up against another defense this coming week. That's a pretty good defense. Their defensive line is pretty good. You know, our offensive line, at least parts of it, look like they are getting, like Lindstrom looks more like his old self. And I think he's getting his sea legs under him finally. You know, Dahlman's looking better. Bergeron is still a rookie, so you know, you're gonna have rough patches with him, but he's, you know, progressing. McGarry is McGarry, and he is what he is. But he played pretty well this past weekend. And so hopefully we're seeing that get better. And if that gets better, the offensive line can provide him better protection on a more consistent basis. If he can like stop seeing those ghosts, like just go back there, you know, like trust what you're seeing. And when there's something there, let it rip.
Well,
okay. But that's the problem, is he passes over or is not seeing the like very open things, and trying to do things that are harder for him to do in a lot of situations. He just settle his butt down so that he's, you know, taking what the defense is giving him and not trying to force things, because that's where you start running into the problems that we ran into this past week.
Right. Joe, what is your thoughts on is Ritter? Do you get the feeling that the leash is starting to run out there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think he's I wouldn't call him a placeholder, but I would say that he's a gambit. He's an attempt by this team, by this organization, to insert a quarterback that is making very little money. And the attempt was, if we can make him good enough to be one of those average quarterbacks like we've been talking about, then that is going to afford a lot of opportunities for this team to improve in all these other areas. And you can probably still have a really, really effective offense if he is able to be that kind of middle of the road NFL quarterback, with potential to grow. Of course, you would think that if he's middle of the road in this season, then there's the potential for him to get even better in the future. It is frankly worrying, though, what we've seen so far. And I got to say, like, it doesn't even feel that much different than the games that we saw last year, especially in terms of just pushing the ball downfield and connecting on some of these deep passes that we know is such an important aspect of Arthur Smith's offense. And if you go back to watch the 2019 highlights of Tennessee, you just see big play after big play after big play with Tannehill chucking it deep and guys coming down with it. And it was a really exciting offense that year. And they had great playmakers, kind of some similar types of playmakers to what Atlanta has, in kind of like AJ Brown. I almost similar to Kyle Pitts in some respect, as like this kind of big pass catcher who's got a lot of speed you can use and get on some of those quick slants and things. But I mean, clearly it's not working out. And I actually was just looking up because I tweeted out the intended air yards is the way that it's phrased on Pro Football Reference. But average depth of target is another way that it's referred to. If you look at last year, Mariota started, he was around 8, and then a little bit of, he was 8.5 in week 1, 8.0 yards in week 2, and then a massive jump, 16.7 that week 3 game against Seattle, if you remember that one. And then 12.7, I believe that was the Browns. And that's all I looked for, because I was just wanting to compare 4 games versus 4 games this year. And in 4 games this year, it's been 3.5 for Desmond Ridder in game 1, which, like, that is a crazy low number. And that's with like one deep pass that he hit to Kyle Pitts. Now, in depth of target, doesn't even matter if they catch it or not. But I think before that pass attempt, he had only had like 46 air yards or something in the entire game. And then he had 7.7. ADOT in week 2, 7.7 in week 3, and then 8.1 in week 4. And last year in 4 games, he averaged 7.8 average depth of target. So these are really short. That tells me he's not able, at least at this point, to really anticipate guys coming open down the field. If you're going to hit those deep shots, you have to have the anticipation that guys are going to come open, because if you wait until they are open down the field, it's too late. You can't get the ball down there. You know, you can't throw it that far. So that to me is kind of like an existential problem for him. And maybe he can figure it out. I don't want to write the guy off. Yeah. I never want to write off any athlete. You know, I want to give them every opportunity to prove themselves on the field, but it's certainly not looking good at this point. Right. I think that's, you know, stating the obvious.
He got shook, man. I mean, when I watched that Jaguars game, but that game continued and he was throwing them interception, he got shook bad. And you can see it. His confidence started weaning a little bit. And this is what you're going to have to watch out for when you're Arthur Smith, because you got to find out where this guy's confidence is really at. And I'm telling you, if it's still shaking when it gets to this week 5 against the Texans on Sunday, which, shout out to my son, because I'll be at that game with him because he's taking me. If he's still showing them shook signs, it's time to sit him. You can't sit there and expect his confidence to go up if he shook like that as a QB. It's not going up, okay? Because all 4 games, he's almost throwing an interception.
Yeah, and it's a scary one against D'Amico Ryans. You know he's going to be have something cooked up to take advantage of a quarterback that's like that. Can I ask a question before we get this? I'm really interested to hear people's takes on this. How do you guys balance the fact that he was, like, at least at one point, he was 9 for 9 on third downs against Jacksonville?
That was in the second half.
I don't know if he finished 100%, but like, very good, clearly.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you reconcile that in your heads?
you know, that's what Jonathan was alluding to earlier. And I get it, like, where he finished the game strong, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's going to, like, I look at that as like, okay, this is yet another instance where it's taken him to get into the second half of games before he starts to look like an average QB. You can't live in that world.
No.
No matter how much you like the guy, how much you want him to succeed, you can't live in a world where you're, you know, midway through the third quarter before we really start being able to move the ball and all this other jazz. And you can't, like, when, as the season goes on, another, you know, friend of ours, you know, on Twitter, a lot of y'all may interact with him, Damski, says all the time, like, yes, you can have a great running game. And I, for one, love the running game. Like, Bijan Robinson had over 100 yards. You know, running game looked pretty decent, you know. But if that's all you have, that makes it real easy on a defense. You allow the defense to come up on the line and dare you to throw it over the top. And you have to be able to do that. This is a game that is the ebbs and flows. When they crash up and stop that run, or try to, even if you're still being successful, you have to make them pay for it. And right now you can't. Right now you can't make them pay for it, and they know that. They know that you can't make them pay for it. Whether it's, you know, Kyle Pitts being a glorified decoy because he's still, like, nursing the injury, and he's not fully back yet. If that's the case, fine. You as a play caller, whether it's Ragone, whether it's Smith, whatever, this is why I say this is an integrated problem, is that you as a play caller have to realize that, and you have to be able to set up layups for your quarterback. You know, right now, like, all Smith's motions have become motions just to motion. Last year, the motions were causing reactions from the defense, mm-hmm. because you were at least able to pivot off them. I made the joke, mm-hmm. on Twitter that they put Parker Hesse on IR, and I was like, well, that's why the offense has been horrible, because you haven't had Parker Hesse out there. You know, but it's a thing where you're not making people pay for leaving Pitts one-on-one or Hollins when he's wide open. The scheme does have receivers wide open. We're just not making defenses pay for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the disconnect is with Dave Ragone and, you know, Desmond Ridder, or where the disconnect really is, but you're not making defenses pay for it. Fred Butts tipped us $5 again.
He says, if the game,
yes. This is a hot topic, and I know we haven't been able to get into the chat as much as we do, but normally when we have a guest, you know, we have to let everybody talk. You know, that's how it goes. He says, if we gave Mariota 13 games, Ritter's getting 17 games. Manning threw 18 picks as a rookie, he'll get better.
He threw 28 as a rookie.
Yeah. And this is a different NFL. You throw 28 picks, you're not getting a second chance. We ain't got time for that.
I totally get it. And I understand everybody's frustration. I'm not going to sit here and tell Toby he's wrong for thinking that. I'm not going to sit here and tell, King Seven here that, I'm not going to tell them that they're wrong for thinking that.
I know.
My own personal opinion is I want to, like, he's running into adversity now.
Right.
How does he respond, to, you know, not just the picks? Okay, but he has to learn from, okay, I threw that pick. I'm going to throw picks. It's going to happen. It's the NFL. Even the best guys throw picks.
Mahomes threw two picks against the Jets.
Yeah, dumb picks. Yeah. Like just really weird-looking throws. Like, mm-hmm. And he even said himself, like, on that first one, he's just like, throw the effing ball. Like, just throw it, man. But, like, so, you know, the mistakes are going to happen. I want to see him be able to come back from that and not do what he did on Sunday, which is, okay, I threw that pick. The very next play, I'm just like, I'm staring this down. It's almost like, I think somebody called it a YOLO throw. It was just like, whatever, you know, and just like kind of lose your mind on that. Don't do that. But I want to see him progress. I want him to succeed, because just like Joe said earlier, like if this succeeds, that does nothing but help us as a franchise. Oh, yeah.
Look, next year, if this succeeds, and I ain't trying to cut you off, but if this succeeds and he figures it out, next year we got $42 million in cap space.
Yeah.
You don't think we can't go get a fire breather to add to Nielsen's defense? Or you don't think we can't, you know, go get, if McGarry is turns into a frog throughout the whole season, then we can't go get a better right tackle? But you want to allocate that $42 million to, like, beefing up the defense. If Fukuda, you know, gets hurt and stays hurt, go out and get another, you know, bona fide corner. You're going to have to lock up A.J. Terrell. I mean, there is, you know, like, no. At the end of the day, the best thing that could happen for this team is that Ritter gets his head screwed on straight and starts showing that gamer that he was in Cincinnati. Even with the issues that he had, you know, in Cincinnati, he showed that gamer, right? So if he can bring that back out, then, hey, that's the greatest thing ever. But guess what? As Joe alluded to, as Toby has alluded to, whether we feel like, you know, I don't think that Ritter, that Arthur's job is tied to Ritter. I don't think it is.
No.
But he's tied to the next QB he brings in. Does that make sense? Like, whether it's we're making a trade to go get whoever, you know, Kayla Williams, Shadur Sanders, Drake May, whoever you want, Michael Penix Jr., whoever you want to throw in there, whether it's draft, whether it's free agency, whatever, I do think it's tied to the next guy they bring in. And if that's the case, you know, that $42 million could handle there, right? But we are in a building to win now. Year three, as Toby talked about. This is where the rubber meets the road, and you got to start showing improvement.
And I still don't know if I consider this year three of the rebuild. I honestly don't. Okay.
I get
their other opinions on that. I think this is year one of the rebuild.
I understand the sentiment, but I don't think you're going to get that much. I don't think Arthur's going to get that much time. Not that.
I mean, I don't think there's anything that's going to happen this year short of, and if it gets very much worse, I think you will see Heineke. But I don't think that nothing that happens this season gets Arthur Smith fired unless he flat out comes out like on a expletive filled tirade or something, or literally punches Arthur blank. I don't think, no matter what anybody wants or what anybody thinks, I don't think this year is now. If it ends up happening and he gets fired, I will eat crow on that all day long.
Hey, we got some good recipes for eating crow, bro.
I'll bring you the crow. I'll eat it all up. But I'm just saying there is almost zero scenarios right now that I can see that Arthur Smith is not the head coach of this football team next year. It's just flat out. Okay, I just don't see it.
I got you. Go ahead, Toby. What
so
you got?
I got two things about Desmond Ritter. So, just like playing the piano, right? When you first learn how to play the piano, what are you going to do first? You're going to look down at the keys because you're not as confident as the keys that you're playing. Okay, your confidence right now is, I got to look down at the keys. But once you get confident, you don't have to look at the keys anymore. You can play with your eyes closed. And this is where Ritter's at right now. He's looking down at the piano, and he's not confident in the keys that he's playing. Just like you was talking about Jonathan with the football. He's gripping onto the football. He's hesitating. He's not letting the ball go when he needs to let it go. Okay, and he's letting it go when he don't need to let it go. The other thing is, scheme-wise, this game today is set up horizontally first, then vertical. You stretch defenses horizontally, which we're not clearly calling enough horizontal plays, which is why I keep going back to the wide receiver screens that we don't run for whatever reason. Maybe we can't execute them, like I said. But
we did
then,
on the first play in Detroit, we did. And I was like, I love that.
We did, but they didn't do it again. And it worked.
It worked, right?
Just like with the back shoulder throw. It works if you do it, but they're not calling it enough. It's like they don't know the identity of what the players are on their team. And it shouldn't be where me as a fan can tell you what your identity is, and then you want to discredit me and say, well, I'm a fan, I don't know nothing about football. Amen. Okay, amen. I know enough about football to tell you that you need to start running what the teams play. Right, exactly. But you, I don't know what you're playing right now. I don't know what you're calling. Right. What are you calling?
That's definitely an interesting. I was going to pull up. Dang, Toby, I thought you was going to keep going. I was going to pull up and show y'all that pound for pound in the fantasy football. Hold on. Joe, stall for me.
Well, when you eat crow, you got to go low and slow. You know, a lot of connective tissue there. So you got to really break that down.
This is going to bam. Look at that. Yes, sir.
Nice.
We are after an opening week loss, we are now the pound for pound community. We are 3-1. Last week we beat Locked On Falcons. This week we beat Dirty Fanatics United. Next week, we also beat Out of Your Falcon Mind. So we're on a roll.
Oh yeah, let's go. Somebody team on the road. It ain't our Falcons.
That's what I said on Twitter. At least I can root for my. I know Arthur don't like fantasy, but at least I can root for my fantasy. The good thing is at this junction, right, is we're four games in, and everybody's media darling this year, the Detroit Lions, started 1-6 last year, and they figured it out. My biggest issues at this junction is there's two things that are bugging me, and it's something I put out. As of right now, in this four-game block, I cannot remember a time, and maybe it's recency bias of losing two games, but I cannot remember a time where I said, there's an NFL QB moment for Ritter. Like, there's an NFL throw. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's – because what you look for with young guys are flashes, right? You look for flashes because – you got to have the flashes to then build on that stuff. As of right now, in this four-game block, and I preface that because last four-game block, the end of last year, he had some moments. He had some big-time throws to, you know, almost win the Saints game if Drake holds on to the ball. The connection with him and Drake last year was really good. Yeah. You know, he made that big-time throw in the Tampa game. Like, I'm talking off his feet, flick of the wrist, throwing it 40 yards in the air. I saw that and I was like, okay, all right. These are the flashes that you wanted to see from a young guy. I'm not seeing those this year. I'm not seeing those flashes, and that's worrisome. What's up, Joe?
That flick of the wrist to Drake that you just mentioned, he was out of the pocket on that play. There was another play, one from this year, the touchdown to Drake in the Green Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the pocket on the left side, kind of, you know, drops the arm slot, gets it in there. Really nice play. I like what Desmond Ridder does outside of the pocket. I feel like when he gets out of the pocket, that's when things can start to open up for him. He can start to get into more of that kind of flow state. He's not kind of, you know, he doesn't look like he's overthinking it from inside the pocket, trying to precisely read the, you know, things open up because defenses start to adjust. I would like to see them get back to that more. You do wonder, when we talk about, you know, Arthur Smith, like, are there ways they can scheme up things to allow the game to open up for Desmond Ridder so that he's not just sitting there trying to figure out to, you know, if I can throw this curl into a cover four match or, you know, whatever it might be. I think that's where you start to see the mistakes from him. And I'd like to see them just get him in a flow state. Like, that's what we talk about when he's getting things going in these second halves of games. That's what he's in, that flow state where he's just not really thinking. And can you get him into that earlier with the design of the offense? I think that's the big question.
Right.
I think we've also had some success whenever we've gone into like up tempo.
It could be an option.
Yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. That's something I would like to see a lot more of. And I know that's kind of the opposite of what Arthur Smith wants. Arthur Smith wants to be, he wants to take his shots from time to time, but he wants to be that methodical, beat you up, you know, chew up the clock. He wants to be that. But I think every time I've seen us, by and large, move to more of a hurry up style offense, like, it feels like Ritter's in a better rhythm with that. Whether he's in the pocket, out of the pocket. But I would like to see him get out of the pocket more. I'd like to see him on the edges. For one, you give him less of the field to worry about. Two, I like you said, I think it kind of loosens him up a little bit. He's less stiff. And I think if you pair that with like getting him out of the pocket, getting a little bit more up tempo, you're going to break that defense down. This defense is not going to be quite as complex. Some of the reads are probably going to be a little bit easier, and that will make that will cover what you're supposed to do anyways with a young quarterback is try to bring him along with things that he's good with and then like slowly add things to that as you go. And that's what I would like to see more of is getting him out of the pocket, getting him into try to get into. And I understand that like you can't just be like, all right, we're just going to be hurry up offense from play one to the end of the game. You have to kind of, you have to get into it.
You know something else that's plagued him. This offense has just had too many negative plays, and a lot of that's from the sacks. Mm-hmm. But like they just keep on getting themselves off schedule, and I feel like if you get him out of the pocket, you're at least giving him, you know, an option to run the ball. If he's not comfortable throwing it, you're probably not going to lose yards. You're probably going to, you know, maybe pick up a couple or potentially even have more out there. But you know, when we talk about with this offense, they got to cut that down. You're just not talented enough at the quarterback position to be able to overcome that. There was the same problem last year with Mariota, but they didn't have the sheer amount of negative plays last year that they've had so far through four games this year.
True. Popcorn Movie Game says Pat Mahomes. Appreciate that. He says Pat Mahomes had more reps in the preseason than Ritter. Smith is on the hot seat. Y'all got to come off that preseason. I don't think that's going to do much. But anyway, no, look, I get it.
Ritter marched the team down the field in preseason in the one drive that he had.
Right. Then throws a pick. But anyway. But it should have been an omen. But no, I think the idea that, you know, like at this point, it's on Smith to figure it out. Whether it's, getting Ritter moving, if that's the answer. If it is putting in Heinicke, whatever. That's the answer, because if he turns in another 7-10 season with the money they spent on defense and the three first round picks on offense, you're gonna start getting some major side eye. You know, I think part of the problem, I think it was Toby that said that last week, you almost have like too much talent in a sense. Like you were talking about the young guys, right, with Pitts and London and Bijan. It's like two of those three were picks that you almost felt like you had to defend, right? Like you had to defend taking Pitts fourth overall. So in his rookie season, we're going to force feed him the ball, right? Get him everything we can get him, right, with Ryan. Then the next year you come back with Drake London. Oh, because, hey, you know, you lost Ridley. You moved off of Ridley. Now you need another weapon. Makes sense, you know? Oh, so what are we going to do? We're going to break the franchise rookie reception record with Drake London. Go force feed him. Oh, will that come off the heels of, you know, Pitts getting hurt? Okay, maybe. And then this year, you make the pick of Bijan at 8 in a era where you don't, pick a running back in the first round. You know, that's gone by the wayside. Now you almost feel like you got to defend that, and now you're kind of force feeding Bijan, making him the focal point of the offense. Now you're talking about three players that could be the focal point of your offense. This, like, you got to choose, man. You got to choose. Like, what are you going to do? Is it Pitts? Is it London? Is it Bijan? Or you got to figure out a way to make it all, because Nick brings up a hell of a point here. Three first-round picks, and you got three touchdowns from them.
Yep. What's funny is that the Bijan pick still feels very defensible to me at this point. Like, he's an unbelievable player. Yeah, I know you're not telling that, but like, because of the way that this defense is played, you know, because obviously like Jalen Carter was still there for the Falcons to take. And I mean, obviously I'm sure he'd be playing great here too, you know, if he were here, and that defense would be better too. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that this offense is what it is so far. We've talked so much about it on the show, and still you would say that, like, yeah, Bijan's still a good pick.
No, like at this
he's
point,
he's the best player on this offense at this point.
Right. At this point, I'm glad we got Bijan.
Yeah.
Like, flat out.
What,
like, right
would
now,
this offense be without him? Honestly,
holy Pete, you know,
that's scary.
So, but Fred is.
He's on a roll tonight, man.
He is on a roll.
He says,
just leave your wallet out and give us everything in it.
He says, we're winning the division this year with Ritter. It's still a possibility.
Yeah.
That's the great thing in a sense. It is still a possibility that we could, you know, start getting it together and win the division. We're not that far out of it. Right now we're in second place as the Saints lost and Carolina's winless. Like now, right now, Tampa Bay is looking like your biggest roadblock with their defense and Baker looking serviceable. You know, that looks like to be your biggest biggest roadblock is Tampa Bay. So no, we're not out of it. Things are fixable, and that's a great place and position to be in, but you got to start fixing it.
If you don't find your identity in these four games, you're not going to win too many of them. And I say this again, you got guys that are capable. If you switch things around, catching the same passing concept all the time, okay, slant route can be a huge, huge gainer for Desmond Ridder right now. You got Drake London who can catch slant passes. You got Kyle Pitts who can catch slant passes. You got Bijan Robinson who can catch slant passes. You can run similar concepts and move people around and still be able to discover what your identity is. And right now, the Falcons' playbook offensively is too big. They need to whittle that down and figure out what their players do best and start running them plays against the coverages that they see. And right now, they're not doing that. And that's what the issue is. They got Desmond Ridder doing way too much. You're trying to be New England Patriots. You are not the New England Patriots, but you can run a big old playbook like that and just run whatever the defense can't handle. You are a team that you got to find out what your players do best, and you got to cater to that and run that in your plays every game, like I'm seeing some of these other teams they're doing. This is why the Detroit Lions are winning right now, because they know what their offense is. They know what their defense is. So you need to figure out what your team can do best.
I'll put you like this. We're not the only ones. The Bengals are up there scratching their head with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and only scoring, you know, 3 points or whatever. The Vikings are scoring all the points in the world the past few weeks and have just now got a win. So we ain't the only ones in this boat. Like Philly are figuring it out. Thankfully enough, they're on the side that you want to be on, right? Like still figuring it out while winning games. Mm-hmm. But they're still figuring it out. Like everybody's still figuring it out. We're in the first block of the season. We shouldn't be the same team that we are now by the end of the season. If we are, big problem. MJ, I meant to get to this earlier. I should have started. It's something we said pre-show. It says, I think Charles London was a bigger loss than we think. Dave Ragone is Dookie. I don't know about the Dookie part, but there does seem to be, you know, a bigger issue as far as is it too much on Ragone's plate trying to do double duty of, you know, OC and QB coach? Is it too much on Smith's plate of being play caller and whatnot? But anyway, we're going to figure it out. We'll know by the end of the season.
Yeah. But I will say this. At least this year with Ritter, like when I tune into the game on – well, we'll be there at the game on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be there this game. So if y'all see us, I'll let us. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. But so when we go to this game on Sunday, I want to see or I will be excited to see what might happen with Ritter.
Okay? Yeah, of course.
The biggest change from this year from last year was once we like we saw Mariota, we had the history of him knowing what he is. And so there was no real like I would go into the games just expecting Mariota to be Mariota. And so when it happened, I wasn't like super like bummed out. I wasn't super depressed about it. You know, I wasn't angry about it. It was just like, oh, well, you know, that's Mariota. That's what he's going to do. Now, I'm actually probably more upset. Like, I was more upset in the Detroit game than I was this past game. But I was still, like, had moments where I was upset, mostly because, like, I have seen better from Ritter last year. And even in some early parts of this year, I've seen better from him. And so to see him regress a little bit in the last couple of games has been a disappointment. because I have seen better. I have seen progression from him, mm-hmm. and to now not see it, I'm a little bit like, it is a disappointment. But I know going into this weekend that when I watch Ritter play, I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going to happen. And it could be something really great, could be something really bad, could be somewhere in between. We don't know. But I would much rather be in that position than we got Mariota starting. We knew he was going to start. We knew what he was going to be. And then for me, that's just my own personal opinion. I would rather be in the situation of like, let's see if he learned anything. Let's see if anything gets better. Let's see how this goes. But Mariota was kind of just stuck in his ways. That was who he was.
Millie's got a good question here. He says, if you bench Ritter, and do you and Tyler doesn't work out, do you go back to him? Like,
only Zach Wilson kind of scenario where you get, he gets hurt or something.
Like, well, you also have the situation. Like, I'm be curious to who's starting for the Patriots because they bench Mac Jones. This will be like the second or third time they bench Mac Jones. Like, is it Bailey Zappi? You know, do they let him? So that's an interesting test case for the folks who, you know, wonder about the sitting or not sitting of Ritter versus Heinicke. I think if you make that decision, you stick with it, unless.
That's why I said it's a burn the boats moment.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Joe?
I want to ask you guys another question. Yeah. And I think Toby may already be there, but this is a hard hypothetical, but like when would you get to the point where you would say it's Heinicke's team?
Yeah, somebody asked that earlier. How many games?
This team has two home games coming up before you then go on the road to play a division opponent in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And I feel like if it's basically, I think it matters how it actually happens, how things transpire, how Desmond Ritter looks in some of these games. But I think if you lose both those games, if basically the next two home games look similar to the last two games that we've seen, I think that becomes a crossroads moment where you would be 2-4 at that point going in to play a division opponent on the road with consecutive road games. Then I think they got the Buccaneers. And then I think Tennessee, which is a big one, obviously, for Arthur Smith. So I think that's kind of where I think these next two games are super important for Ritter.
Right. Toby, obviously we know your feelings now, but like how much more does he have to lose before you would move off to Ritter or move off of Ritter to Heinicke?
The time is now. I'm sorry. The time is now. You got Heinicke has four games now that they got film on, and you can switch him out this week. Now I know I see what y'all saying that he's on the depth chart still being the starter. That doesn't mean anything because tomorrow that could change. And Smith doesn't like to show his cards on the day of game plan a week anyway, because this is the last day to put the game plan in before they even get to tomorrow, which is the game plan is starting to be implemented. So I'm making that switch right now because you're in a situation where I say this again, that you're not in a situation to rebuild. You're in a situation to win. When you put this much money into the type of players that you brought, especially on the defense side of the ball, you are showing your cards that you are ready to win this year and at least make the seventh seed in the playoffs. Now, I know I got them going to the Super Bowl. I do. Okay. But when I'm looking at this situation with Desmond Ritter and what he's doing, if he's still showing that shook side of him in this game early on, I'm benching him. Benching him.
King's got it for me. He's like, he says, Ritter gets one more and that's it. And he has to have a good game, not a decent one. I mean, a good one, because we haven't seen a good one yet. Like, I will say this, if we're at home and I'm sitting, it's going to even be worse if I'm sitting in the crowd. And if I'm sitting in the crowd and it looks like the Detroit game, I'm with Toby. I'd rather see Heinicke at half.
Yeah.
Like, if he comes out and it's just, you know, stare down city, pick city, at this point, maybe it's the typical rookie deal where he's done been sacked 11 times in 2 weeks, and that's got him completely shook. Okay, bud, you had your chance. You know, I'm not necessarily – we don't spend too much money to pull a Texans and tank until – to get C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't put too much money into the defense to do that. He done got too much draft capital in the offense to do that. Okay.
And they're not tied down by Ritter. Like right. Ritter's that's contract. Like it's not like there's anything, any real reason for them to stick with him unless, you know, the only thing would be just optimism that they could get him right, which would help the team.
But I feel like if he comes out this Sunday and the first half looks absolutely atrocious, I want to see, you know, Heinicke as the starter. Come out of half.
For all we know, it could turn into another Tennessee situation where Heinicke is Heinicke is like the Atlanta version of
Tannehill.
A guy that you know
everybody loved.
He had Tannehill before he left Miami. He had games where he looked really good, and he even had seasons where he looked really good. But then he would just drop off. And then once he got with Arthur Smith, all of a sudden the guy was like lighting it up. So can Heinicke be that kind of guy for Atlanta? Sure, he could. And is that going to happen this week? Who knows?
I need to figure out how to refund Fred some money. Can you send me your Venmo so I can send some of this back to you? You don't have to tip us to get your voice heard. I know it seems like it, but anyway, another $5 from Fred. He's already said Ritter's going to remain the starter. Joe, I don't know if
he said that for this week. That was specifically geared towards this game against the Texans.
Thank you for being able to clarify that for us. Anyway. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this thing up. We appreciate everybody stopping by, hanging out, having fun with us. Hopefully we'll get back to something that resembles winning ways. Maybe we start this week at home. I hope, because I'm going to be in the crowd and I don't want to like stroke out in the middle of MBS because my blood pressure's up through the roof. But we appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128, GRIMM1128. I should have started with Joe because you're our guest. Joe, where can folks find you
at? Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at JAPatrick200. And I do the pregame show every Sunday for the Falcons. We'll for every home game we're in the Smoove lot. It's the Wade Ford tailgate show. So okay. Come by. I would probably not recommend parking there because it's really expensive because it's right next to the stadium. But it's right on Northside Drive, and you can feel free. And you know, all walkers are welcome to enter the lot and come have a good time. So okay. I'm there every Sunday morning, Falcons home games from 9 to 11 a.m.
Very good, very good. Nice. Toby, where can folks find you at?
Before we start, Joe, as always, it's a pleasure having you on, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can follow me at TobyD1991 on X. Twix, whatever you want to call it.
Twix. Yeah. Jonathan.
You can follow me on Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers. At Jonathan M. Holder. Just come by and say hi.
There it is. We might try to do our Saturday show live this week, maybe. But I will say this, it does not seem like y'all are all that interested in our opinions on the rest of the league. So I don't know how much longer though. That format will keep going, but we may try it for another week or two. So if you liked it, tell a friend to tell a friend kind of thing. We'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully talking about a win. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.